Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we're going to talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
How's it going? How are you guys?
We're good. There's rumblings in the world that you're going to take a day off.
Tomorrow.
Man.
Is that okay?
I mean, that's fine.
Lucky.
I'm proud of you.
Kevin can't complain because he's been out a lot, too.
That's true.
In the middle of the football season, too.
It was the bye week. Yeah.
It was the bye week.
You get it. It's the exact same logic. No, I'm proud of you for taking a day off. I just want you to prepare yourself for this.
Uh-huh.
We're going to go ahead and you can start writing your column now, telling people that they're stupid and they need to stop talking about this. I'm just going to warn you. Jamal Adams has been released by the Titans per his request.
Uh-huh.
You ready? And it feels like every fringy Cowboys fan in the world is going to be like, hey, we've talked about this for 5 years. Now's the time to make it happen. And they're going to implore you, Mick, to make sure the Cowboys sign Jamal Adams.
He'll run right down the hallway, right?
Yes.
How come he got released?
He requested to be released because he wasn't playing on the Titans.
How come he wasn't playing?
Because he's not good enough anymore.
I was going to say, they didn't like him?
Oh, no. We're on the same page. He's not good enough.
So you think the Cowboys are interested?
Oh, my God.
I think they are interested.
I don't think that position is the problem, is it?
Okay, all right. I think it's a little further up in front of those safeties.
Yeah, exactly.
And the linebackers.
We've diagnosed that, I think, pretty well. And, you know, the linebackers have done a nice job now. They got to get Kendricks back on the field, right? Yep. But you know what? Damone Clark played one of his better games.
I could see that.
From a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how well he did setting up, you know, the changes after you get the call in. Because, look, me and you can get the call in, right?
Yeah.
We get it in our helmet.
Yeah.
And we repeat it. Now, the difference, though, is that now once you get the call in, you get to the line of scrimmage, it's like, okay, now they adjusted. Now, how do I reset our adjustments? And Kendricks is really, really good at that. And I think that was one of the things that got overlooked, that he just wasn't in there. Now, I don't know if he could have made a 40-point difference in the score, right?
Feels unlikely.
I would, you know, just having him on the field would make me feel more comfortable, let's put it that way.
When it comes to Tyler Guyton, he's expected to be the left tackle, right, when he comes back?
I would believe so, yes.
Okay. We discussed this a little bit. What work can he do in the next couple of weeks? I mean, even at home or whatever to grow. What does he need to do the most?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to go out there and try his pass sets against his dad or whatever.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be neat.
And his dad's he's in pretty good shape, by the way. Look, first of all, he's got to be 100% healthy, right?
Yeah.
Second of all, he's got to understand, I think, that this is the NFL and sometimes you got to play through things. And I'm not saying that he backed off or whatever. You know, they felt like he wasn't 100%. And if you're not practicing everything, although he was out there, and they listed him as fully, they just kind of kept it the way it was. But he's got to improve his technique. If you talk to people, and I get an earful from Nate Newton, and I assume he knows what he's talking about, offensive lineman, that he's got to do a better job, number one, of keeping his hands inside, not getting them outside, and number two, just keep his feet moving. He's got good feet. Sometimes he gets stuck or he gets surprised by how fast the guy in front of him gets off. Now, you can help out there. You can put a fullback in there, a running back, and help chip the guy. All you got to do is nudge him, and, you pick up a second or so, which is all you need, or you just put the tight end over there and say, okay, we're going to help him out. Now, from a pass block situation, though, you can't help out both offensive tackles, and I think Terrence Steele needs to improve on his pass block.
Yeah.
But the deal is you got to get five guys out there together coordinated. It's not just one guy failing. If one guy fails, it may rub off on the guy next to him. And so I think from a run blocking situation, that's where they've really got to improve. Because if they can get the run game going on a consistent basis, then it helps your pass blocking because teams don't know, what you're going to do if you're not, 30 points behind. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm throwing the ball and throwing the ball and throwing the ball. I just think their deal is they've got to get this offensive line coordinated and get it healthy.
Now, I'm sorry if you shared this story on Tuesday and I missed it, but I just saw your column on DallasCowboys.com where you recapped a story from 1989 about a time that Jerry Jones was pissed off at you. Now, I would, of course, advise everyone to go to DallasCowboys.com and read the article, but I was also hoping you could kind of recount that story for us.
Yeah, it was. So it would have been, they did the, the trade with Herschel Walker to Minnesota. It was on a Thursday. And so we got the results, what the trade was for. But they didn't specify immediately that the four guys they got from the Vikings, who were basically like a sack of potatoes from a quality standpoint, that they were tied to draft choices. So when it first came out, it was initially just the players. And you're like, seriously? And at that time, we thought that was the best player the Cowboys had on that very bad roster, team, whatever. And we really didn't know that Jimmy was just kind of not into Herschel Walker's running style, kind of straight line, doesn't make anybody miss, wants to run over anybody. So anyway, on Friday, and I think it was on Channel 21, somebody produced a roundtable of the beat writers, columnists, to talk about the trade. And we basically panned it. Like, what are they doing? Do they know what they're doing? They didn't make a good trade. Well, somebody ends up running this rumor that Steve Walsh was part of the trade, but it wasn't going to happen until after the season. He was included in the Vikings. Well, I found out, and I think most of us did, that rumor was really bad. It was not true. And so on Saturday, the editors at the paper, asked me about it. And I said, no, it's not true. I found it out. There's not even any sense, writing about it or talking about it. Well, we need Jerry to comment on this. And so I got forced to call Jerry. He had watched the TV show, right? And so I called and I told him, and he sort of just let me have it. Mm. One up and down and around, and I was sitting there kind of taking it, and we got to the end. And I said, okay, but would you like to comment on what I asked? And he said, oh, you can write any damn thing you want, something like that, right? And so so I did. Right. And so I earned very early the wrath of Jerry Jones. Right. And
yeah.
I guess things got overlooked, I guess, because I'm kind of still here. It's part of the job.
Yeah,
sometimes, you got to face the music.
Sure.
I always said, especially if you're going to write columns, that if you kind of rip a player or, talk about how bad he played or anything, you better be in the locker room the next day and let him have his say if he wants to say something, right?
Yeah.
You had your say, let them have their say. And it's just part of the job, the way I look at it. And, that's kind of what happens. But, back then there wasn't any social media or any, and it wasn't a public dressing down that I got. In the end, he was right, other than not understanding what the question was that I was trying to ask. But that's, that was done before. I could remember in 87 when at the Times Herald we were getting to write about what was going to go down with SMU and kind of pointing a finger at who, was responsible. And, the guys that covered it couldn't get that guy on the phone. And I said, well, I'll call him. I said, he doesn't know who I am. And, I got nothing to lose because I'm not covering SMU. So I called him, and the guy kind of dressed me down. And he goes, yeah, when this is over, I'm going to buy that newspaper, and you're not going to have a job.
Wow.
How about that? And I said, well, I didn't do so well. But anyway, it's just, I mean, it happens.
Said, good luck. Newspapers are going to be worthless 25 years.
40 years from now, you're not going to have a newspaper, right? But yeah, you know, but you got to kind of have to face it. It's, you know, it's part of the job.
Man, thank you very much for the time. Enjoy the day off, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
See if I can figure out what to do, huh?
Go do something fun.
I'm going to guarantee you.